Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor by Avram Goldar, and today Masechus Ksubas Daf Nun Beis, the fourth parak Nar Shini Spasasa. The Zichu Masechus Ksubas program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Hachazachas Torah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in the Braisa, Nishbeis VaYimavakshim Menu Adasar B'Damea. If a woman was captured and her captor is demanded from the husband up to 10 times her worth, Parm Rishon the Poda Mekan VeElach Ratzah Poda Ratzah Eina Poda. The first time this happens, he must ransom her. From then on, if he wants, he ransoms her. If he wants, he doesn't ransom her. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "Ein poden es shvuin yosu al kedei deman b'fnei tikkun olam." One may not ransom captives more than their value for the benefit of the world. Rashi explains that this will help prevent captors from demanding high ransoms. The Gemara notes that this implies what Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, that one pays ransom up until her value, and brings a conflicting price where he says that one may pay ransom up until the equivalent to her ksuba. But he doesn't need to ransom her if the ransom is higher. Rashi explains that ransoming one's wife is only a tanai the ksuba, whereas the 200 zuz is the main part of the ksuba. Therefore, the tafel payment should not be more than the ikar payment. The Gemara answers Rav Shimon Gamliel trei kula esle. Rav Shimon Gamliel subscribes to two leniencies. Rashi explains that he holds that the husband does not have to pay more than her value if it's higher than the value of her ksuba, nor the value of her ksuba if it's higher than her value. Pointing to the next mission states, L'kasaba, if the chasm did not write for his kala, benin dichem dichavi l'chemenai, it may all children that you have from me, inun yersim ksav ksuba sech, yasuk lakon diemachon, they will inherit the money of your ksuba above what they share with their brothers, he is nonetheless chayv to fulfill the stipulation since it's a Tanai basin. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, why did the Chachamim institute ksubas benin dichrin? Kadesh yikbots admi yikhtav rabito givno, so that a man will jump and write a large dowry for his daughter as if it were his son. This ensures that his property will be passed on to his descendants. The Gemara asks if there's such a thing where the Torah says a son should inherit and a daughter shall not, and the Rabban Kamen institute that she should inherit, meaning how could the Rabban encourage the father to give away his property for his daughter that the sons stand to inherit? The Gemara answers that the chiyuv to provide a dowry is also the right. So for the pasuk states, take wives and have sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, ubenosechem tenula anashim, and give your daughters to husbands. Now, is it in the father's hands to marry off his daughter? Rashi explains that it's not for the woman to seek a spouse. Rather, the pasuk is saying that the father should clothe and give her jewelry and property so that men will jump to marry her. And pointing with you, the Gemara asks, how much of one's possessions should be committed to the dowry? Abai and Rava both said, ad le'iser nichse, up until 1/10 of one's possessions. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, it was taught in a braisa, nishbeis, vayu mevakshim imenu adasar b'demeo. If a woman was captured and her captors demanded from the husband up to 10 times her worth, pam rishon de poda, mekan ve'elach, ratza poda, ratza eina poda. The first time this happens, he must ransom her. From then on, if he wants, he ransoms her. If he wants, he doesn't ransom her. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, ein poden es shvuin yosu al kedei deman b'fnei tikkun olam. One may not ransom captives more than their value for the benefit of the world. Rashi explains that this will help prevent captors from demanding high ransoms. The Gemara notes that this implies what Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, that one pays ransom up until her value, and brings a conflicting price where he says that one may pay ransom up until the equivalent to her ksuba, but he doesn't need to ransom her if the ransom is higher. Rashi explains that ransoming one's wife is only a tanai the ksuba, whereas the 200 zuz is the main part of the ksuba. Therefore, the tafel payment should not be more than the ikar payment. The Gemara answers Rav Shimon Gamliel trei kula esle. Rav Shimon Gamliel subscribes to two leniencies. Rashi explains that he holds that the husband does not have to pay more than her value if it's higher than the value of her ksuba, nor the value of her ksuba if it's higher than her value. Pointing to the next mission states, L'kasaba, if the chasm did not write for his kala, benin dichem dichavi l'chemenai, it may all children that you have from me, inun yersim ksav ksuba sech, yasuk lakon diemachon, they will inherit the money of your ksuba above what they share with their brothers, he is nonetheless chayv to fulfill the stipulation since it's a Tanai basin. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, why did the Chachamim institute ksubas benin dichrin? Kadesh yikbots admi yikhtav rabito givno, so that a man will jump and write a large dowry for his daughter as if it were his son. This ensures that his property will be passed on to his descendants. The Gemara asks if there's such a thing where the Torah says a son should inherit and a daughter shall not, and the Rabban Kamen institute that she should inherit, meaning how could the Rabban encourage the father to give away his property for his daughter that the sons stand to inherit? The Gemara answers that the chiyuv to provide a dowry is also the right. So for the pasuk states, take wives and have sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, ubenosechem tenula anashim, and give your daughters to husbands. Now is it in the father's hands to marry off his daughter? Rashi explains that it's not for the woman to seek a spouse. Rather, the pasuk is saying that the father should clothe and give her jewelry and property so that men will jump to marry her. And pointing with you, the Gemara asks, how much of one's possessions should be committed to the dowry? Abai and Rava both said, ad le'iser nichse, up until one-tenth of one's possessions. All right, so now we get our Siman Daf Nun Beis, and our standard Siman is a newbie to Yiddishkeit, someone new to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The newbie to Yiddishkeit laughed when he received a ransom note for 10 times his wife's value, because he knew she was being held in a jail that was destined to be inherited by her sons as Ksubas Benim Dichrin, after his father-in-law had given him the property as a dowry equal to one-tenth of his estate. Once again, slow motion. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, newbie to Yiddishkeit, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit laughed when he received a ransom note for 10 times his wife's value, which reminds us we have Malkokas regarding how much ransom one can pay for his wife who was captured. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit laughed when he received a ransom note for 10 times his wife's value, because he knew she was being held in a jail that was destined to be inherited by her sons as Ksubas Benin Dechrin, which reminds us Ksubas Benin Dechrin is one of the Tanai Ksuba and was instituted so that a man will jump and write a large dowry for his daughter as if she were her son. It ensures that his property will be passed on to his descendants. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit laughed when he received a ransom note for 10 times his wife's value, because he knew she was being held in a jail that was destined to be inherited by her sons as Ksubas Benin Dechrin, after his father-in-law had given him the property as a dowry equal to one-tenth of his estate, which reminds the Gemara how much of one's possessions should be committed to the dowry. Abai and Rava both said, ad le'iser nichse, up until one-tenth of one's possessions. So once again, the newbie to Yiddishkeit laughed when he received a ransom note for 10 times his wife's value, because he knew she was being held in a jail that was destined to be inherited by her sons as Ksubas Benin Dechrin, after his father-in-law had given him the property as a dowry equal to one-tenth of his estate. All right, so now it's time to go to our four-block back, Hazara. Daf Memches. So the Simmer Daf Memches is Brainiac. So here goes. The Brainiacs, Brainiacs, that must mean we're on Daf Memches. The Brainiacs who got hired to play the flute and to do the lamenting at a wife's burial were so horrible. Which reminds us, we have Malchukas if a husband is required to provide flutes and a lamenter at his wife's burial. The Gemara says that the Malchukas is in a case where it's the husband's custom to have the flute and a lamenter at a woman's funeral, but it's not her family's custom. The Tanakhama holds, when we say that a woman rises to her husband's status but does not descend to it, this applies in her life, but not after her death. Rav Yehuda holds this principle applies even after her death. So, the Brainiacs who got hired to play the flute and to do the lamenting at a wife's burial were so horrible that the woman's father went insane, requiring Beis Din to organize support for his wife and children from his property. Which reminds me of what Chizkiah said in the name of Mar Ukva, when he went insane, Beis Din goes down to his property and supports and maintains his wife and his sons and daughters, because we assume the father who went crazy would have wanted to support his children. This is different than a father who travels overseas. Since he could have arranged support for his children before departing, but did not, it indicates that he does not want to support them in his absence. Nonetheless, he must support his wife, because that's one of the Tanai Ksuba. So the Brainiacs who got hired to play the flute and to do the lamenting at a wife's burial were so horrible that the woman's father went insane, requiring Beis Din to organize support for his wife and children from his property. And her sister died from shock right after she had been handed over to the husband's shluchim, enabling her husband to retain her dowry. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Masa avu shluchei aba hari b'rishus aba. Once the father has handed his daughter over to the husband's agents, she is in her husband's rishus. There's a machlokes regarding what it means that she's in his rishus, and the Brice refutes every opinion except for Shmuel's, who says it's regarding her Yerusha, that the delivery is only effective for her inheritance. If she dies on the way, her husband retains the dowry. Daf Memtes. So the Simmer Daf Memtes is a butcher because it relates to meat. So here goes. The butcher's daughter butcher. That must mean we're on Daf Memtes. Meat. The butcher's daughter who arrived back at her father's shop when her husband died while she was traveling with the shluchim, which reminds us, we learned that a kala given over to the husband's shluchim, if she returns to her father's house before reaching her husband, she does not revert to original state of being in his rishus. We learned this from the pasuk neder almana ugrusha kol asher asra al nafsha yakum aleha. But the neder of an almana or grusha, anything she prohibited upon herself, shall be binding upon her. Now, what's this coming to teach? As it's obvious that once a woman is an almana or divorce, that her nedarim are her own. Rather, it's to teach that if the girl was handed over to the Shulchei Abal and she was widowed or divorced, while on the way, once the daughter leaves the father's ashes for any length of time, he can no longer annul her vows. So the butcher's daughter, who arrived back at her father's shop when her husband died while she was traveling with the Shluchim, was resentful to her father, who only fed her growing up because it was a mitzvah, which reminds us the next Mishnah states, Av eino chai b'mezonos bito, a father's not chayv to provide for his daughter's sustenance while he's still alive. The Gemara says that this implies that he is chayv in his son's sustenance, and even with regard to his daughter, there's no chiyuv, but it is a mitzvah to provide for her. The Gemara asks who the Tana of the Mishnah is, given that it seemingly cannot be any of the three Tanaim mentioned in a Braisa. So the butcher's daughter, who arrived back at her father's shop when her husband died while she was traveling with his shluchim, was resentful to her father, who only fed her growing up because it was a mitzvah. And that was only after Basin shamed him when she was a minor, calling him worse than a raven. Which reminds us, the Rabbanan only shame fathers who do not want to support the young children. They do not compel them to support them. Rav Chista would have someone announce on a turned over mortar that such a father was worse than a raven who wants its young, and this man does not want its young. The Gemara clarifies that the announcer is referring to black ravens, for when the ravens are young and white, the parents do not feed them, and they must turn to Hashem. Daf Nun, so the Simmer Daf Nun is a nincompoop. So here goes. The moneyless nincompoop. Nincompoop? That must mean we're in Daf Nun. The moneyless nincompoop who couldn't figure out why his first tithe didn't equal his second tithe, nor his tenth tithe, which reminds us, Rabbi Ula said, "Be'usha iskinu hamizbazbez, al yizbazbez yosem echomesh." In Usha, the Chamim enacted that one who gives generously to a tzedakah should not give more generously than a fifth. Rashi explains that he should not give more than a fifth, so that he should not come himself to need others. The Pasuk states that Yaakov Avinu said, "V'ko asher titan li aser asrenu lach, and all that you will give me tithe, and I shall tithe it to you." Rashi explains that the two mentions of tithes implies one-fifth. So the moneyless nincompoop who couldn't figure out why his first tithe didn't equal his second tithe, nor his tenth tithe, tried to hire a five-year-old weak but learned child to explain it to him, which reminds us, we have a question whether teaching Torah to a child less than 6 years old will weaken him and be harmful to his health, or it will develop him and put him ahead of his peers. So the moneyless nincompoop who couldn't figure out why his first tithe didn't equal his second tithe, nor his tenth tithe, try to hire a five-year-old weak but learned child to explain it to him. But he was busy telling his older sister that just as he collects ksubas benin dechrin only from land, so too she is sustained from their father's property, which is land. Which reminds us, Rabbi Hamnuna said, just as sons inherit only from real property, referring to karka, so too the daughters are only sustained from real property. The Gemara clarifies that he was referring to the sons inheriting the ksubas benin dechrin. Dafnan off, so the simmer Dafnan off is beaver or beaver pelt hats. So here goes. The beaver pelt hat salesman, beaver pelts, that must mean we're a duff. No, no, no. The beaver pelt hat salesman who didn't write a ksuba for his wife, but still owed her 200 zuz, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that in a case where the chasen didn't write a ksuba, a basul collects 200 and an almana amana because that's a tanai, a basin. So the beaver pelt hat salesman who didn't write a ksuba for his wife, but still owed 200 zuz, built a big dam to block men from violating her, so she would not come to act willingly. Which reminds us, it's a malchokas if a wife of a Yisrael is violated, whether she becomes forbidden to her husband. Avuya de Shmuel, Shmuel's father says that since the end of the act could have been done by Ratzon, willingly, she's forbidden. And Rava says that even if the end of the act was done by Ratzon, we would say that the Yetzer overcame her. So the beaver pelt hat salesman who didn't write a ksuba for his wife, but still owed 200 zuz, built a big dam to block men from violating her, so she would not come to act willingly, but didn't anticipate Ben Beaver, the king of the Beaver Belt community, capturing her, whom she might hope to marry. Which reminds us, it was taught in Braisa, Shvuyin Mochus Harin Kishvuyin, Gunuvei Listos Enu Kishvuyin. Captives in the monarchy, which Rashi explains are women taken to be concubines, are like ordinary captive women and may return to their husbands. But women captured by bandits are not like ordinary captives and become forbidden to their husbands. The Gemara says that another Braisa taught the opposite and then seeks to reconcile them. The first Braisa is referring to a Malchus like Achashverosh, where the women know that they will not become his wife and therefore they act under duress. The other Malchus is like Ben-Netzu, who Rashi explains captured several cities and ruled over them like a king. Here the captive woman might think she'll marry the ruler and act willingly, thereby becoming prohibited to her husband. Alright, so now it's time to conclude with our 10-question pop quiz. Number 1. Which did they learn that even if one does not write a ksuba for one's wife, she still collects her ksuba since it's a tanai of Basin, that's on Dav? Nanav. Good. Number 2. which stuff do you want a father should give up to 1/10 of his possessions for his daughter's dowry? That's on Duff. Nun Beis. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you have a question whether one's child should start to learn Torah before the age of 6? That's on Duff. Nun. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we have a malchus is whether a Yisrael's wife who is violated becomes forbidden to her husband out of concern that the end of the act was baratzon? That's on Duff. Nanolf. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we have a malchus is regarding how much ransom one should pay for a captured wife? That's on Duff. Nun Beis. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do you have the captives of the Melech are permitted to their husbands, but captives of bandits are not? That's on Duff. Nanav. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do you learn why the Chachamim instituted the Ksubas Benin Dechrin? That's on Duff. Nun Beis. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you learn how the Chachamim hold that the defamer does not have to have relations with her? Explain the psukim, such as spreading out the sheet. That's on Duff. Memvav. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you learn that one should not give more than 1/5 to Meiser? That's on Duff. Nun. Good. And number 10. Which stuff even Malchok is whether the father has the rights to consume the produce from a daughter's property? That's on Duff. Memzine. Excellent. All right. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldham Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.